Wake up every morning the good way.
Joining us, OFM News editor Morne van Rooyen. Morne, eerstens, die G20 beraad, wat beteken dit vir my en vir jou? Jy weet, vir Jan Alleman op straat, wat is die impak van die beraad op ons?
Sander, ek dink die grootste impak vir ons in Suid-Afrika is die feit dat die wereldse oë is op die land gerig. Die wereldse oë was van tevore op Suid-Afrika oor goeie redes. Ek bedoel, jy sal onthou in 1990 met die vrylating van Nelson Mandela, 1994 met die oorgang na demokrasie. So, destijds was Suid-Afrika die reënboogland en die hele wereld was baie ingenome met ons oorskakeling, amper vreedsame oorskakeling na die demokrasie toe. En ek dink dit is ook een van die redes waarom Suid-Afrika deel is van die G20. Want die G20 het ontstaan uit die G7. Nou die G staan vir groep. En die G7 het ontstaan in 1973, toe die wereldse 7 rykste en mees ontwikkelde lande by mekaar gekom het, om te praat oor ekonomiese volhoubaarheid, op hulle ekonomiese beleid, later ook oor die omgeving, wereldvraagstukke. Omdat hulle so ryk is, het hulle die mag om iets te doen aan die wereldse probleme en ook na hulle eie belange om te sien. Maar mettertyd het die gevoel ontstaan dat daar met 'n groter groep wees om ook die wat ons noem die globale suide in te sluit. Soos nou lande soos Indië, Indonesië, Brasilië, Argentinië en sovoorts. So toe het die in 1999 toe ontstaan die G20. En Suid-Afrika is daarby ingesluit omdat ons die mees ontwikkelde land in Afrika is. Maar as jy kyk, hoort ons regtig daar? En dis een van die vrae wat president Donald Trump die afgelope tyd gevra het. En hulle boykot, Amerika boykot hierdie beraad oor verskeie redes. Een van die redes is omdat iemand vir hom wysgemaak het, Suid-Afrika het amper een volksmoord teen wit mense, boere se grond word afgevat, die misdaad is uit die hand uit. En dit is nou hoekom Amerika die beraad boykot, en daar is ook ander mense wat sê, wat maak Suid-Afrika in die G20? Daar is 19 lande, ons werkloosheidsyfer is 5 keer hoër as die gemiddeld van die G20. As jy kyk na Johannesburg waar die beraad aangebied word, daar is ernstige diensleweringsprobleme. Julle weet dat Johannesburg het nou so paar pleisters gekry, daar is 'n bietjie lipstifie aangesmeer, net om het mooi te laat lyk, maar dit kan nie die probleme wegsteek wat Suid-Afrika het nie. En ek dink wat vir ons as Suid-Afrikaners belangrik is, daar is nou hernieuwde fokus op Suid-Afrika se probleme. Ons is nou weg van die wittebrood tydperk van destijds, waar alles het rooskleurig gelyk, die ekonomie het gegroei, mense het saamgestaan. Ek bedoel, as mense net kyk op sosiale media, die ernstige verdeeldheid wat in Suid-Afrika is. En ek dink vir gewone Suid-Afrikaners, dit sal ons help dat die wêreld bewus word hiervan, en dan kan ons kyk of die regering iets daaraan gaan doen. Want jy kan nie vir 'n paar dae al die misdaad en al die verval op sy skuif, en dan terug gaan na waar hy was nie. So hopelik gaan die regering realisties wees en besef, hy moet daadwerklik iets doen, en nie net mooi maak vir 'n paar dagen.
In die atelier saam met ons, OFM Saak hier, aanbieder Oliver Ging, moet sê, Oliver Ging, what's the impact of the G20 summit on, you know, the bigger South Africa?
I mean, it's difficult to state definitively what the positive impact of South Africa's G20 presidency will be. I know that South Africans want rands and cents, but for now what we have is the symbolic impact. So I'm going to take a slightly more positive stance on this. For one, a reminder, this is the first time that an African country has the G20 presidency. So this is not just about South Africa platforming our issues and our challenges and the solutions to those issues. It's also about the continent. Now, these countries on the continent and in the global south have for long complained about not having a seat at the table. You mentioned a seat at the table. And now this is their opportunity to have their challenges and the solutions to their challenges included in the G20 agenda. So at the end of the summit, they're going to have a leadership declaration. And this will set a policy tone for all of the G20 member states, but also for other organizations like the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund. And that's key because we want money coming into the country for development, finance projects, etc. So that's quite instrumental. It seems a little bit unimportant and we should be indifferent, but not at all. That's not the case at all.
Oliver Geng, more to you on the Sound of Life OFM. But Oliver Geng, we also know, you know, corruption plays a massive part in South Africa. So if we have funds streaming in, don't you think that's why the US also took a stance in the manner which they did and said, you know what, we're not supporting South Africa because of all the things going on in the country currently. And we see the, you know, surface developments currently in Joburg that are rolling out, you know, potholes being filled temporarily and. It's sort of a, you know, boer blink, onder stink situation. Do you think the summit holds a potential positive outcome in the long term?
So I think it does. So on the show on Monday, we spoke to Monique Bennett, and she's from the Policy Innovation Lab. And she mentioned this leadership declaration at the end of our presidency and the summit. And she said it makes no use that America wants to express its dissent from afar, because at the end of the summit, a leadership declaration will be adopted. So if they're not present to express their dissent in person, it's kind of pointless. That leadership declaration will continue to be adopted unless other parties present object to it. So it would have been better if Argentina and Donald Trump were present to be able to express their dissent, and that would be then, they would not adopt the declaration. So it's kind of futile, and President Cyril Ramaphosa touched on it. But I will kind of elaborate a little bit more about the importance of setting an agenda or being included in the G20 agenda in terms of big projects. And we'll touch on that in just a bit.
Het jy 'n voorbeeld met betrekking tot impak op die begin?
Yeah. So, I mean, an example when you are not necessarily included in the agenda. So you would remember the rapid bus transit systems. Last year, I met a researcher who had said that you had a bunch of consultants abroad that were pitching with World Bank backing rapid bus transit systems. And we've watched how they've failed on the African continent. They haven't been effective. Have you made use of the rapid bus transit system in Bloemfontein?
We have not.
Not once.
And so adoption is not necessarily great. They've taken very long to get the buses rolled out. That's one example where, you know, the agenda is not necessarily with the powers that be or the money backers, essentially. So it's kind of important and a great example, a prime example of why it's important to be a part of the G20 agenda and setting the tone for development finance. We have issues around debt. All of those things are super important. But lastly, we know that there's engagement groups that form a part of the G20. The Business 20, B20, yesterday had their summit. Now, they have said that if their recommendations, if are implemented, it could achieve a doubling in African foreign direct investment between $85 billion and $110 billion. Again, we're not great implementers, but that is an estimation. Hopefully that gets down to the rands and cents, if you want a rands and cents
picture.
Well,
ultimately, I mean, everything looks great on paper. Where it comes to implementing the plans, that's where, you know, the money needs to start talking. But we'll keep a close eye on all the happenings and activity around the G20 summit, you know, the impact of it on South Africa, the impact of it on you and me, and then the outcomes. And hopefully, we'll see some potential positive long-term outcomes for the country.
The Good Morning Breakfast, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. only on OFM. Brought to you by NutriFeeds, the formula for success.